There we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Coverage YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. We have an absolutely jam-packed show for you guys. We are all over the Thursday night football game tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Buffalo to take on the Bills. My first two guests, Jingles, my Covers co-worker, and Davis Sanchez. We're going to be breaking that one down along with some of the action from Sunday. After that, Brad Powers will be along to break down some of the biggest games of the week in college football. And we're going to wrap things up with NBA. Two pretty big NBA games tonight. We will be breaking those down with John Mettler. Three total bets for the NBA tonight. So how are you guys feeling? I'm feeling pretty damn good. I got my hair cut yesterday. What do you think? Look okay? Not bad? Let's bring in my first guest of the day. Before things go off the rails here too badly. There he is. The most famous rails. Smile in sports betting. Let's see it.
It's kind of there today. We're struggling. We're struggling with some under the weatherness, but Thursday night football, Joe. I mean, any love after seeing Buffalo for a couple weeks at the -9.5 now?
Not for me. No. Especially, I think it's going to be a low scoring game, which we're going to get into here momentarily, but Jingles, we are approaching the halfway point of the NFL season. So how are you feeling about everything, both from a league-wide perspective and from your own personal bets as well?
Personal bets-wise, probably easier one to go. I've been hitting TD props really well at like an insane rate. It's really boosted up my ROI. I mean, when you're playing like +230s, +400s, week to week, and you're actually hitting them, it works out. But going into the week, I'm happy just finding things like we'll hit with the Buffalo game, just more in-game edges as opposed to, I mean, it's week eight. Things are pretty efficient. Like you're not getting a half a point of value anywhere.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's look to start week eight off strong. Three total bets for the game tonight. I will hit lead off my best bet for Bucs versus Bills. Give me under 43.5. So Bucs games this season have equaled low scoring. That is the absolute norm in their games that have seen an average combined score of just 34.5 that has resulted in them going under in five of their six games so far this season. Plenty of good offenses in the mix in Bucs games as well. They played the Vikings in Minnesota in week one when Justin Jefferson was playing. Also played the Eagles and the Lions. None of those three games reached 40 combined points. They've scored fewer than 14 in half their games so far this season. Bills have had some standout defensive performances. They've held three separate opponents to 10 points or less. We should expect more field goal attempts than touchdowns if these teams get in close tonight. Tampa Bay is first in red zone defense, but 28th in red zone offense. Bills defense really good in the red zone as well, ranking sixth in that category. And maybe a little bit of a pattern developing here. The Bills offense has been awful in two primetime games this season. They scored just one touchdown versus the Jets, just two versus the Giants, where they were shut out for the first three quarters of that game. So maybe a good opportunity for the Bucs defense to show out a little bit here. So give me the under on that total of 43.5. Jingles, your best bet for Thursday night football. What are you looking at?
Well, when I'm out there handicapping my first bet of the week, usually on Tuesday for this Thursday night game, a lot of prop markets aren't open. So we're kind of just looking at sides, totals. I've been burned by Buffalo in back-to-back weeks. It's been a tough ride. But the Dawson Knox injury gives us bettors a great opportunity here to look for secondary receiving options. And I hit Khalil Shakir anytime TD. I got it at +1,100 on Tuesday. I said I'd play it down to 600. There's still +700s out there. Like I said, opened around +1,100, 50-1, first and last. I'd play this to 600. The Knox news, this is what happens. Knox is out. Buffalo's running two tight end sets at the fourth highest rate in all of football. He's out. Quinton Moore's probably out too. They're going to have to revert back to three wide receiver, four wide receiver sets, putting Shakir on the field a little more over the last 3 weeks. Knox actually been dealing with that wrist injury over that time. He's had the third most wide receiver snaps, so he'll be the number three guy. He had routes on 46 of the dropbacks last week, 10% target share compared to Hardy's and Sherfield's 2%. 34% of the snaps over the last 3 weeks. Just trying to find out who will benefit the most if this Buffalo offense goes heavy, 3 wide receiver set, 4 wide receiver sets. And I think it's Shakir. And then on the other end, you mentioned it, Tampa Bay, impressive defensively in the red zone. One of the best red zone defenses, tough to run in there. So they might have to throw, they might have to spread it out. And Tampa Bay has been awful versus the pass, dead last in EPA per dropback and success rate since week 5. Desmond Ridder, 250 yards on 25 passes last week versus the Bucs. Would look like a different number, but Atlanta went 1 for 5 in the red zone in that game. The 16-13 game. So happy to get this plus 700 TD, and I'll be a happy boy if he's first and last.
Okay, there we have it. A big money bet from Jingles. Okay, my favorite prop for Thursday night football. I'm going to take Rashad White to go over his receiving yard total of 22 and a half yards, coming in at odds of minus 110. So the Bills are getting beat by backs in the passing game. 43.3 receiving yards allowed per game to running backs. 8.4 yards allowed per reception to running backs as well. An opposing running back has easily cleared this number in 4 of the Bills' 6 games so far this season. Stevenson had 51, Etienne had 48, Mostert had a 36, Josh Jacobs had 51 earlier in the season. And White is a big part of the Bucs' passing game. 3rd in targets, 3rd in yards, averaging 27.1 receiving yards per game. Very efficient, too. 22 catches on 23 targets. So let's hope Baker Mayfield looks his way tonight. Okay, Josh, looking into Sunday, what's your favorite bet for the weekend?
I'm getting on this number a little late, but I still like it. That's the Saints Colts over 43.5. This opened at 41.5, but I still think there's some meat on the bone here, and it might cross touch the 44. Minshew showed last week that he's very capable of running this offense. He's 3-0 to the over in his 3 starts and has produced at least 350 yards of offense, including 450 last week versus that elite Cleveland defense. Zach Moss was DMP, but we still have Jonathan Taylor, so I'm not too worried about it. Joshua Downs has really come on, so there's a lot to like about this offense. And the Saints could get both tackles back after last week's Thursday night. I know we watched that game, Joe. It was basically a check down fest, but Derek Carr has some extra time. Pete Carmichael's getting some heat about the play calling, and the Saints could get both of their tackles back, which would allow Derek Carr a little more time in the pocket, allow him a little more time to let routes develop downfield, and could take advantage versus this Indy defense that is already out. Dallas Flowers, one of their starting quarterbacks, and then Juju Brents is actually out, rookie corner. Versus this Indy defense that's 31st in points allowed at 27.7 per game.
All right, so there we have it. Josh likes over in Saints Colts this weekend. Jingles, I know you got a lot to do here. You're covering a little bit of everything for us here at Cover. So let the viewers know what they can check out from you that's up, whether it be on the YouTube channel that they're on right now or up at covers.com.
Follow my site, my page on covers.com for all my previews. Live hockey releases Wednesday, Friday, Saturday with Carlo Koliakovo. We'll be doing live baseball releases for the World Series for every game coming up. The Blitz has been crushing it with Derek Carty. That's on the go. And I'm going to spend my afternoon today sweating out some Euro and conference games. 32 games on the slate. Might as well look at some numbers change, pal.
Yeah, Covers absolutely providing some of the best NHL betting on the internet, and Jingles absolutely at the center of that. My man, thank you again for joining us. Best of luck with your bets tonight and this weekend. We'll catch you again next Thursday.
I appreciate it, Joe. Have a great night, pal.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're at the quarter point of the show. Let's move into our next guest. If you watch football up here in Canada, you know this guy from TSN, Davis Sanchez, former San Diego Charger, 3-time Grey Cup champion. Davis, how are we doing today?
I don't think anybody down south cares I'm a 3-time Grey Cup champion.
Well, they should.
Well, hopefully hopefully they saw me for my 2 seasons in San Diego. As my buddies often say, I was the great R4 on the kickoff team that is so memorable. That's good for the good friends I have. Eh? They pumped me up by telling me I was on the kickoff team. Let's get it rocking.
What was the biggest difference between being in an NFL locker room compared to a CFL locker room?
I know for sure it'd be the days, like the time spent, right? Like you're there all day. CFL, this is a 4.5 hour rule. So you can only be there 4.5 hours. So guys basically go there, get your work done, and you leave. And then, you know, we study a little bit after, but we're NFL, you get there at, you know, 6:37 for your workouts, and then we're there till 6 or 7 at night, eating and watching film and doing everything else. So that's the difference between getting, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a week versus getting, even as a league minimum guy for me, you know, getting, you know, $15,000 a week or whatever it is. You spend a few more hours.
Yeah, that league min in the NFL, that's some good coin. Okay, so let's get into the NFL game tonight, going down in Buffalo. The Bucs are in town, maybe coming back down to earth a little bit, taking on a Bills team who are completely the definition of an all or nothing team. They get beat by the Patriots last week. They struggled to beat the Giants a week before. We saw what happened in week 1 versus the Jets, but they have games where they beat the living crap out of the Raiders, the Commanders. They had that great performance versus the Dolphins. We have the Bills favored by 9, a total of 43.5. So your thoughts on this matchup, and then we'll get into your best bets.
Yeah, what I just wrote down, and you just sparked something in me. Josh Allen over rushing. It's 22 yards right now. You know, in his avails, he talked about, you know, he hasn't rushed the ball, and he said something to the effect of, you know, that's not a great way to make a living in the NFL these days, quarterbacks rushing. But I believe all the pressure that's on them from these performances over the last couple of weeks offensively, I think that Josh, his number is right now is predicated off what's happened recently, and he hasn't been rushing the ball. But I think there's enough pressure on these guys to get it going offensively that he might take it to his own hands a little bit more and rush the ball. So that's one of the takes, you know, thinking big picture, and it's not my best bet, but I do like Josh rushing, and that's the first place I'm going to go.
Okay, so let's get into those best bets. What are you hitting the click button on at the sports book here?
Yeah, I won't go too deep into the Rashad White over because you're on it as well. If you look at how Tampa's playing right now, the weakness for the Bills is a lot of it is their linebacking core right now. You lose Edmonds, you lose Milano. And here's on the outside, you got Evans and Godwin. And I think that's a mismatch. Well, I don't think it's a mismatch for the Buffalo Bills cornerbacks. If they've been playing a lot more man this year, but once they realize that's a mismatch out there, I think McDermott sloughs off, plays a little more zone coverage. You get some checkdowns to White. Baker's been getting the ball to him quickly. So I love that play. That's a clear mismatch on the outside. And the only thing that the Bills defense is going to be able to do is drop into that zone, which they've done so much in the previous few years. They can go back to that right now. And I think he gets lots of checkdowns to Rashad White.
Okay, anything else standing out on the board that you're clicking on here?
What else do we have? Big ones, yeah. Dalton Kincaid. I'm big on Kincaid. The reasoning here is, look, they got to figure out before the trade deadline like who their number two is. A lot of conversation. Gabe Davis had one target after his last target of the game last week was a 10-minute mark of the third quarter. Didn't have a target almost the whole second half. I think they got to figure out if Kincaid can kind of be that number two receiver, although a tight end. And that might decide what they do and how they move in the trade deadline coming up here next week. Also, I also would take a look at, Jingles talked about Shakir. One thing about Shakir, and so I think that offense has to run through Kincaid, obviously through Diggs, then Kincaid. So I have no doubt Kincaid goes over. I absolutely smash that play every which way. And then the other one is Shakir, and Jingles like Shakir. I like his receptions. I don't like his yards. If you look at all of his targets, he had a big amount of targets last game, more than any other receiver other than obviously Kincaid and Diggs. But a lot of his routes, 2-yard routes, 3-yard routes, they're all little option routes with him in the slot, the little jitterbug he is. Nothing downfield. So I'll be careful for his total. I know Jingles like his touchdowns. So I like his receptions as well. I'll put two things together here, okay? And I think this is we want to build. You want to build something parlay-wise and smash something good. Here's two ways to look at it. Either the Bills say, Gabe Davis, we got to figure out if you could be a number two And before the trade deadline, we got to get someone, whether it's Davante Adams or whoever else they could try to get. They go get somebody, but maybe they just feed him the ball, 10 targets and see if he could be that guy. If they kind of go through him, feed him the ball, maybe you do a big parlay with an alt overs for him, receptions for Gabe, and maybe a touchdown. That would be a massive pay in that, looking if they feed him, and that's the game script. And I would do the same thing for Shakir. Maybe an alt total, a touchdown. Because one of those two guys, they're going to say, we got to get you involved, because it can't just be Diggs for the rest of the season. They got to figure it out. So I have a feeling. I don't know who it is. I've tried to get the pressers and try to hear what I can hear and formulate from there. I don't know who it's going to be, but one of those two guys, I think they're going to force feed. Maybe you look to bet it live early, watch who they're force feeding the first few series, and then bet their live total over.
Okay, let's move into Sunday here. A lot of big spreads this week. We also have a few competitive-looking matchups. Anything stand out to you that you think is worth a bet right now?
Yeah, just for sure it's the Jags. I'm just looking at what else I have missed there. But, yeah, Jags. I like the Jags against the Steelers. That, do you? Yeah, that's a mismatch. I think that's overrated versus undervalued right now.
Yeah.
I don't think Pittsburgh's gonna be able to run the ball and go ahead. Kenny Pickett, get in third down or third and long and see what you can do. I don't believe in them at all. And on the other side, I keep saying it, Levi Wallace, Patrick Peterson, if they're gonna play man with those two guys all day, that means Christian Kirk and whoever else wants to work. But I love that game. That's my favorite one of the week for sure.
Yeah, I've been on the Steelers as a fraud all season long. They look at their stats. Statistically, they're god-awful. I think they're 27th in net yards per play right now. They are way too dependent on their opponent turning the football over. We saw them have a little bit of luck last week versus the Rams. Yes, I am bitter about that. I was on the Rams in that game. But yeah, I'm with you on the Jags. 8-0 in their last 8 games outside of Jacksonville as well, obviously including the London games, but they are a team that plays up to the competition. So I think maybe the most interesting game of the weekend is the Bengals coming off their bye. They're in San Francisco. The 49ers were favored by 5.5. They're coming off 2 losses. Then we got the news yesterday that Brock Purdy most likely is going to be out for the game. As a result, that spread has dropped 2 points. 49ers favored by 3.5. And all signs point to Sam Darnold getting the start at quarterback here for the 49ers. Now, Sam Darnold, he became a bit of a punchline during his time with the Jets. Then he went to the Panthers last year, and he had some decent performances there for Carolina. But I think the bottom line with him is that he's never truly been in a system where he can succeed. I'm a big proponent that a lot of young quarterbacks come into the league and they get set up to fail. And that was absolutely the case with Sam Darnold. Who did he have to throw to? He had an awful offensive line. He had a revolving door of coaches. Adam Gase, are you kidding me? But now you're throwing him in maybe possibly the best offensive system in football, where we've seen Brock Purdy have quite a bit of success. Some people calling him a system quarterback. I don't really think that's fair, but what do you think of the 2-point line move? And do you think Darnold can have some success against the Bengals?
It sounds like you do. It sounds like you believe in Darnold having success. Are you backing them there?
Yeah, I like the 49ers -3.5, and it has just as much to do with the Cincinnati Bengals, who've been very, very, very bad this season. Even in their 3 wins this season, they were probably outplayed. In 2 of those games, they absolutely were in their most recent game versus the Seahawks. Offensively, they've been really bad. I know you can make the excuse that Joe Burrow has been injured, but even his past couple games, he hasn't been very strong. Now, you can't quite put your finger on it why the Bengals have been so bad. You can point to that injury a little bit, but I think 2 separate games where they've only scored 3 points this season.
I'm with you. I asked the question because I'm absolutely with you on this. First of all, and I don't want to discredit anything Brock Purdy has done. He's been excellent, and if you want to call him a system quarterback, then great. He's been great in that system. That's not a negative. Sam Darnold, I said it before the season started. Sam Darnold, if Brock wasn't healthy and Sam Darnold took over, this team would be right where they are. Sam Darnold is a really good football player put in the right situation. I have now he might be a little rusty because he hasn't been, a little nervous, a little rusty because he hasn't been out there, but I have complete faith in Sam Darnold running this offense and there not being a huge drop off. I'm with you. I will back the Niners as well. If that's once this is confirmed, is it confirmed that Brock is out? It's confirmed.
It's not official. He's in concussion protocol. It's very rare that a guy can come back this quickly from it. I think Kenny Pickett did it last season. He was in the concussion protocol for a couple days there, but yeah.
That's a smash. That's a smash for me. That's a smash for me. I'm a big believer in. Look, he didn't go. Did he go two overall, Sam? Was he one or two?
Yeah, he went to the Jets, like Wilson, who they brought in to replace him, right?
Yeah, if he would have went to a place where, you know, he was allowed to, you know, to grow into the position and had pieces around him, he would have had success. And obviously we saw some of the things he did, but I believe here with this system, he's been there for, you know, the whole offseason and here in a few months now, I believe he'll come in and they won't miss a beat. I'll ride. If I hear that news and they don't adjust to it and people have the narrative that Sam Darnold is trash, then they're missing it. And I'll back Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. So many people are so quick to want to write these guys off. You saw it with Trevor Lawrence in year one when Urban Meyer was his coach, maybe the worst coach in the history of the NFL. People couldn't wait to call him a bust. You know, you see it time after time. You know, that's why I'm telling people, give Bryce Young a little bit of time there in Carolina. You know, you can't expect the guy to be lights out his first six games in the NFL. Of course, he isn't being helped by CJ Stroud looking so good. But Sam Darnold, that should be an interesting game, interesting outcome too for the Bengals, who are kind of looking to get back into the consideration to be a true Super Bowl contender. Okay, Davis, we will leave it at that, my man. Best of luck with your bets tonight and this weekend. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you again next Thursday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, we're at the halfway point of the show, and we will shift gears to college football. Let's go to our guy right now. Down in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, how you making out?
Doing well. That's the safest bet each and every week, sunny Las Vegas.
Yes, sir. Love Vegas. I got to get back. It's been over a year since I've been there, Brad, but I got a feeling I will be back soon. Okay, so let's get right into it here. We have four bets to discuss. If you missed Monday's show, Brad gave out four best bets. Iowa State -1.5, Pittsburgh +19.5, California +11, and Tennessee -3.5. So let's add two more best bets, then we'll discuss a couple of the big games here. Let's start with Troy, Texas State. We have a 5.5-point spread for this one. What side are you looking at here?
Yeah, I'm going to take the favorite here. I do have to say, though, this got hit in the last 30 minutes since I sent that email to you. I still like it, still under a touchdown. But for grading purposes, let's go ahead and grade this at -6.5. We're going to lay it with Troy. What I've seen so far out of Texas State is the most improved team in the country. So why am I betting Troy here? Well, I'm betting Troy because Texas State has also played a very overrated schedule, and their results haven't been overwhelming when you consider the fact that they only beat a really bad ULM team by one in their last performance. They lost the best team that they played in the last 5 weeks, Louisiana. I'm going to tell you, Troy's a lot better than them. They played a bottom 10 Nevada team, a bottom 10 Southern Miss team. Now they're playing a legitimate Sun Belt contender, and Troy's defense the last three games has given up a total combined 10 points. They shut down high-powered Texas State's offense here. Troy -6.5.
Okay, next up, we have an absolute monster spread. Vanderbilt is a +24.5-point underdog taking on Ole Miss. Who do you like here?
Like the dog. I like this time of year. Let's go ahead and bet teams nobody wants to bet on, because sometimes you can find discounts on those types of teams. So Vanderbilt comes into this game losers of 6 straight. But I'm here to tell you, they're 6-0 to this 24.5-point spread. They haven't lost any of those 6 games by more than 24 points. And they played Florida, Georgia, Missouri. They played some decent teams in this losing streak for them. What I do like is Vanderbilt kind of gets a reset off a bye. Kind of happened last year after a bye at the end of last season. They pulled some upsets. Outright upset as a double-digit underdog against Florida and Kentucky. Not saying that they're going to win this game, but I think they're going to be pretty pesky. And we saw that in their last game. I mean, with 5 minutes left, Vanderbilt's only losing to Georgia by 10 points.
Yeah, pretty impressive stuff. Okay, so let's get into some of the bigger games here. We'll start with Oregon. They're favored by 6.5 over Utah. You thinking favorite or are you thinking underdog in this one?
Yeah, let me always preface by saying just because it's the biggest game of the week doesn't mean it's the best value bet, although I've done better on these big game bets than I have on my best bets, to say the least. Let's go ahead and lay the 6.5. And what do I see here? Well, I mean, number one, it is tough to lay points on the road in Salt Lake City, one of the toughest home venues in all of college football. With that being said, I'm not sure Utah's offense and their lack of a passing game can keep pace with a very balanced Oregon offense that I think will have success against the Utah defense. While good, I'm not sure that they're great this year. They haven't faced a great slate of opposing quarterbacks. So for me, Oregon -6.5, anything under a touchdown, a little bit of value there.
Okay, next up we have Florida +14.5 taking on Georgia. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, let's take a flyer on Florida +14.5. And here's why. Georgia's playing their first game without Brock Bowers, the outstanding generational talent at tight end. Let's see what they got without Brock Bowers, because even with him this year, Georgia's only covered one of their first seven games. And now without your best offensive weapon outside of your quarterback, I got to see it first. And you're going up against a Florida offense that likes to slow the tempo down. And I like that. When you're catching a lot of points, very slow tempo teams, Georgia's a slower tempo team. It's going to be tough for Georgia, in my opinion, to get margin here against a Florida team that obviously is going to be pesky against their arch rival.
How would you compare Bowers as a prospect to the last big time tight end prospect, Kyle Pitts, when he came out?
Yeah, he's better. Just a little bit more physical at the point of attack. Maybe not as a good of an athlete, but my goodness, just a more complete tight end. A little bit better blocker, more physical. They actually use him in like the run game even. He can line up at running back. So to me, more tight end than receiver than what Kyle Pitts was.
Okay, let's wrap with this. We have a question from the chat. If you don't have a solid answer, that's cool. But Benny B., asking, look ahead line for Mizzou is +15.5 versus UGA. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it seems about right to me. Obviously, spot's going to favor Missouri off a bye, Georgia off a big game against Florida. But I'm kind of standing pat. I got to see Georgia without Brock Bowers first before I get a better evaluation on Georgia. And just to put in perspective, I downgraded Georgia's power rating 1.5, losing a tight end. That's never been the case in 15 years of doing power ratings. A tight end's out, and I'm downgrading the team's power rating 1.5.
Yeah, Brad really big on Bowers there. Okay, Brad, we're going to leave it like that. In and out today on a Thursday. You got to love that. So we thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with your bets this weekend, and we will catch you again on Monday, where I'm sure we're going to have a lot to discuss.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, we're not done yet, guys. If you missed Monday's show, we're going to have an NBA segment at the end of each of these shows during football season. Then NBA will probably get bumped up to first place on the show after football season. We'll see how that goes. But let's bring in my final guest of the day, NBA betting analyst John Mettler over at Sportsbook Review there. So, John, I know we're only 2 days into action here for the NBA season, but any big takeaways so far, betting or otherwise? Is it too soon to call Wemby a bust? Only 15 points in his first game? What's going on there?
Definitely not a bust. I actually do have a bet on him to win Rookie of the Year. I grabbed it at +130. It was, I think, the first, whenever he Euro stepped from the free throw line and dunked it and didn't take a single dribble, that's when I bet it. Then it moved right after that. It's kind of funny because it's one of those things where, like you're saying, he's a bust. He only scored 15 points. How many other rookies last night scored even 15 points? So I think that's an interesting, the expectations are just way too high. I do think he'll win Rookie of the Year. He's unbelievable. In terms of like other takeaways I've seen, I'll touch on the sixth man again, just because we brought up Kuminga last time. One person to watch other than Cam Thomas, he's definitely one to watch too, but Eric Gordon, when Beal was out, Eric Gordon still didn't start. And a big thing with the sixth man is you got to stay a sixth man the whole year. So the fact that Beal was injured and Gordon still came off the bench, and now tonight we might get a chance where Beal and Booker are both out. And then we could see if Gordon still comes off the bench, then it's almost like when they signed him, they're like, you can try to win sixth man of the year. So I think that's someone to definitely keep an eye on. And I almost want Booker and Beal not to play, because I want to see if Gordon stays on the bench.
For the record, I don't think Wemby will be a bust. It is unbelievable. One of the blocks he had at the start of the game on Kyrie Irving, it was just ridiculous. How are you supposed to get by that guy? Before we get into the picks here, some smartass, whoever's on the covers Twitter right now, John Mettler joins Joe to brag about his 1-0 debut on Before You Bet. So we do congratulate you on going 1-0 when you joined us on Monday's show. So I hope we'll be able to keep that up and you'll be able to stay perfect. I got one bet. You got two. I'm going to start us off. The NBA always does a great job with these Thursday night games. We have a great one with the 76ers. No James Harden in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. I got a prop for this one. I'm going to take Giannis to go over his points, rebound, and assist total. It's only 44.5. I think that's a modest number. I think it's pretty light. He is a stat machine versus the 76ers. I think it's fair to say he gets up for these head-to-heads with Joel Embiid. He has topped this number of 44.5 points, rebounds, and assists in 10 of his last 12 games versus the Sixers. He's gotten into the 50s in 8 of these 12 games. Here's the thing. He just needs to be average. He averaged 49.65 points, rebounds, and assists at home last season. And by all accounts, he is 100% healthy. No red flags here. Strong start per usual in the preseason. For what it's worth, he did average around 30 PRA. Only played around 22.5 minutes in the three games. So I like Giannis to fill up that stat sheet tonight. John, you are feeling Malik Beasley tonight. You have two separate Beasley props. Give us your first one.
Yeah, happy Malik Beasley Day to everyone. Probably be the only time the whole year that we do this. But early in the NBA season, so I always like kind of targeting people who switched roles, changed teams, see how the numbers adapt to them, and see if we can kind of find an edge in the number. So Malik Beasley is a shooter. Lakers fans might disagree, but he's a good shooter. He signed with the Bucks this offseason. He wasn't supposed to be a starter. When Grayson Allen got traded, he all of a sudden the Bucks were looking for a fifth starter, and Malik Beasley's kind of won his way into that role or filled his way into the role. They don't really have anyone else. In the preseason, the one thing I did notice when Damian Lillard was running pick and rolls, it was like always going to Beasley in the corner. It was like 3-3-3, and that is his role. But when I was watching the preseason game, I'm like, oh my God, they have to have different sets than just Beasley in the corner for three. And the flip side of that is tonight, I hope the opposite. I don't think this number is properly accounting for that. I did bet this morning at 8.5 minus 125. It's steamed really hard. It's up to 9.5. The good news is the projection that I was using on the 8.5, it's still good on the 9.5, especially at plus 100. I put there, don't play past minus 130. That's where the projection kind of levels off. So even though it has moved to 9.5, I still think there's something there. I would still play it. The 8.5 it's not coming back, but the steam is a good sign. It's a good sign for sure. You don't want it to go in the other way.
Okay. Prop number two for Beasley, big Malik Beasley program today. What are we looking at for prop number two?
Yeah. Last time it was LeBron James. Say it's Malik Beasley, a little different in name category, but I bet the over 1.5 assists on Beasley. I know it's like one of those things where you think of Beasley, he's not a passer. He's a shooter. He's going to shoot threes. He might take 10 plus attempts tonight from 3-point line. But the thing that you got to love about betting is it's always about the number that levels it off. And then do we have an edge in that number? And at plus 165, I definitely think you do. He did have, I think he went over, he had more than 2.5, he had more than two assists in three of the five preseason games he's played in. So there is an opportunity for him to create. Another thing too, I like with Beasley here in this spot is when you think of like who you're passing to, like even if you use someone else, like his competitor Embiid, if Embiid is trying to get an assist, he's passing to like PJ Tucker, De'Anthony Melton. These guys are just shooters. They got to make threes for him to get assists. Beasley, on the other hand, if he drives and dumps, think of the teammates he's passing. He just literally could pass to Lillard. He can hit a three. Middleton can hit a three. You have Giannis, Lopez on the inside. The teammates he's passing to will help him get those assists.
That's a sneaky little prop there, John. So you gave out the LeBron on Monday, a couple overs here. How would you weigh I know you're a big player prop guy, the amount of overs versus unders? Are you like most bettors out there hammering mostly overs, or is it a decent balance between the two?
I do tend to bet more overs. I always find, so like when you go through the player props, if there's 100 NBA player props, probably like 80 will lean under. And yeah. I find it's really hard to differentiate like what's the best under because so many are leaning under. When you find those like four or five, you know, maybe 10 overs that are it's leaning over, I always found that it kind of just plays it. It's easier to identify the best bet, which is essentially what everyone's going for on those overs, because there's not too many overs that even show that value to the over, especially in the NBA too. I think I put a Twitter thread out on it that when you play overs and guys, there's a lot of like random injuries when guys get taken out, you're usually in a better spot. Like if you play an over on Durant and Booker and Beal say your Durant over looks better. If you play unders, you're always vulnerable to those last second load management tweets, injuries that we see. So
I can't tell you how many times I've had a player point total over and the team's winning by 16 points going into the fourth quarter and he just doesn't come out. Or the one night, and this is where I kind of started to lighten my load on player prop betting in the NBA. I had Kyle Lowry going over his point total, Devin Booker going over his point total, and I think it was Anthony Edwards. No, it was Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal fouls out of the game. It was the only time he fouled out in a game that season. Kyle Lowry got kicked out of the game for arguing with the referee. And Booker, it was like a blowout and he just didn't come. He only played like 3 minutes in the third quarter and that was it. So those ones are absolutely tough when you think you have something handicapped perfectly, then something totally out of your control like that happens. I find that tends to happen more in the NBA than other sports. Of course, in the NFL, there's quite a few injuries and you can get burned too. That's why I do sometimes like to check out the unders. But John, we will leave it at that, but you're going to be right back with us tomorrow. We have a loaded schedule. I find it kind of difficult betting early in the season because we don't have the same amount of data, but there are some good spots at Beasley over 1.5 assists. That might be a good one, especially at the number, plus money on that one. So John, thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully you could stay undefeated here and improve on your 1-0 record. And yes, sir. All right. We will catch you tomorrow.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, John Mettler, over at Sportsbook Review. Okay. That does it for today, guys. If you missed the top of the show, my best bet for the Thursday night football game, I'm taking under 43.5 points. Also on Rashad White to go over 22.5 receiving yards in and out in about, 37 minutes here. Thank you guys very much for watching. If you enjoyed the show, it's very easy to let us know. Smash that like button right down there. Lots of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel as well. So make sure you are subscribed. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We will see you again tomorrow.